March 25th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 49. And here's what we'll find here in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Before he repeated the law to Israel, we'll see Moses reminded them of their holy relationship with God and of their privileges as his chosen people. What other nation had heard the voice of God, had seen his power and glory, and had received his word as their wisdom and their very life? Only Israel, only the Israelites. Listen, when we take our blessings for granted, we're in danger of disobeying God. And that's a very bad road to begin walking down. On the basis of these privileges, Moses warned the people of Israel to take heed. Those are those two words in Scripture which rivet our attention. We're being told to take heed lest they forget what God had done for them, how God had come to them, and what God had said to them, and, of course, what God expected of them because of his covenant with them. To whom much is given, much shall be required. He also warned them that disobedience would bring chastening. He is a loving father. If he doesn't chasten you, you don't know him. See, God forgives his people when they repent. But Hebrews talks more about that. Hebrews chapter 12 is a good chapter to read before making plans to disobey God. He is a merciful God, yes, but he's also a jealous God. He will not permit his children to sin successfully. So what's your attitude when you approach Scripture? What's your attitude toward obeying God, walking in the light? Well, the storms of life sometimes will tempt us to not trust the Lord. It all has to do with the set of our sail, our attitude. It's been said that the smallest of boats is safe in the roughest of seas, just as long as none of that rough sea gets inside that small boat. Having a godly attitude does not mean you'll ever face problems or storms. Ella Wheeler Wilcox wrote the following: "One ship sails east, another sails west. No matter which way the wind blows, 'tis the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way that ship goes." And as the storms rage on, as we journey through life, it will be the set of our hearts that determines where we go, not the storms or strife. Well, the whole point here is your attitude is the set of your sail. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is telling the Israelites to take heed, remember God, acknowledge God, and worship God. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 25th, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 49. "And now, Israel, listen carefully to these laws and regulations that I'm about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so you may enter and occupy the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to or subtract from these commands I am giving you from the Lord your God. Just obey them. You saw what the Lord did to you at Baal Peor, where the Lord your God destroyed everyone who had worshipped the god Baal of Peor. But all of you who were faithful to the Lord your God are still alive today. You must obey these laws and regulations when you arrive in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord my God gave them to me and commanded me to pass them on to you. If you obey them carefully, you will display your wisdom and intelligence to the surrounding nations. When they hear about these laws, they will exclaim, 'What other nation is as wise and prudent as this? For what great nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? And what great nation has laws and regulations as fair as this body of laws that I am giving you today? But watch out. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Tell them especially about the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, 'Summon the people before me, and I will instruct them.' That way they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they'll be able to teach my laws to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain was burning with fire. Flames shot into the sky, shrouded in black clouds and deep darkness. And the Lord spoke to you from the fire. You heard his words, but didn't see his form. There was only a voice. He proclaimed his covenant, which he commanded you to keep, the Ten Commandments, and wrote them on two stone tablets. It was at that time that the Lord commanded me to issue the laws and regulations you must obey in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But be careful. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the fire at Mount Sinai. So do not corrupt yourselves by making a physical image in any form, whether of a man or a woman, an animal or a bird, a creeping creature or a fish. And when you look up into the sky and see the sun, moon, and stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced by them and worship them. The Lord your God designated these heavenly bodies for all the peoples of the earth. Remember that the Lord rescued you from the burning furnace of Egypt to become his own people and special possession. This is what you are today. But the Lord was very angry with me because of you. He vowed that I would never cross the Jordan River into the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. Though you will cross the Jordan to occupy the land, I will die here on this side of the river. So be careful not to break the covenant the Lord your God has made with you. You will break it if you make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has absolutely forbidden this. The Lord your God is a devouring fire, a jealous God. In the future, when you have children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, do not corrupt yourselves by making idols of any kind. This is evil in the sight of the Lord your God and will arouse his anger. Today, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. If you disobey me, you will quickly disappear from the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You will live there only a short time. Then you will be utterly destroyed. For the Lord will scatter you among the nations, where only a few of you will survive. There, in a foreign land, you will worship idols made from wood and stone, gods that neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. From there you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. When those bitter days have come upon you far in the future, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. For the Lord your God is merciful. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. Search all of history, from the time God created people on the earth until now. Then search from one end of the heavens to the other. See if anything as great as this has ever happened before. Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from fire as you did and survived? Has any other God taken one nation for himself by rescuing it from another by means of trials, miraculous signs, wonders, war, awesome power, and terrifying acts? Yet that is what the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, right before your very eyes. He showed you these things so you would realize that the Lord is God and that there is no other God. He let you hear his voice from heaven so he could instruct you. He let you see his great fire here on earth so he could speak to you from it. Because he loved your ancestors, he chose to bless their descendants and personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. He drove out nations far greater than you, so he could bring you in and give you their land as a special possession as it is today. So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other God. If you obey all the laws and commands that I will give you today, all will be well with you and your children. Then you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities of refuge east of the Jordan River, where anyone who had accidentally killed someone without having any previous hostility could flee for safety. These were the cities: Bezer on the wilderness plateau for the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead for the tribe of Gad, Golan in Bashan for the tribe of Manasseh. This is the law that Moses handed down to the Israelites. These are the stipulations, laws, and regulations that Moses gave to the people of Israel when they left Egypt and as they camped in the valley near Beth Peor east of the Jordan River. This land was formerly occupied by the Amorites under King Sihon of Heshbon. He and his people had been destroyed by Moses and the Israelites as they came up from Egypt. Israel conquered his land and that of King Og of Bashan, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan. So Israel conquered all the area from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge to Mount Sirion, also called Mount Hermon. And they took the eastern bank of the Jordan Valley as far south as the Dead Sea, below the slopes of Pisgah. March 25th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 39. And we'll read through chapter 7, verse 10. We'll be reading about true values. In his ordination sermon for the apostles, Jesus emphasized the true spiritual values of life in contrast to the false values of the Pharisees. Comfortable living is not always Christian living. We'll read about true love here in this chapter. Yes, God's people have their enemies, no doubt, even as Jesus did. And we must be Christ-like in the way we treat them. We must be giving and forgiving. And we must pray for them. Not that God would destroy them, but that He would change them. The best way to conquer an enemy is to make him a friend. Keep your heart right with God, and the Lord will produce the good fruit in your life. We'll also be reading about true obedience here in the book of Luke. True obedience is not just words, but deeds. It causes us to act on what we believe and what we're obeying. It involves hearing the word and doing it. You know, Judas, he was with Jesus just like the rest of the disciples every day for 3 years. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He sat under his teaching. He witnessed the miracles. Judas knew Jesus intimately and yet betrayed him. It's amazing, I know. Judas knew the vocabulary, but he did not do the will of God. And when the storm came, his house fell. In Luke chapter 7, we'll see that he did not deserve it. "I am not worthy," was the centurion's confession of humility. And his confession of faith was, "Say the word." See, that was his great faith at work there. And Jesus was astonished at the faith of this Roman centurion. He said, you just say the word, Lord, and I know my servant will be healed. It's great faith when we trust Christ to work just by speaking the word. We can never deserve his blessings, but we can ask for them in faith. True rest is Christ's invitation to come to him for rest. The sinful woman had heard that invitation and had come to Christ, and she found rest. She was ashamed of her past, but she was not ashamed of her Savior or of her tears. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 25th, Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through chapter 7, verse 10. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. "What good is it for one blind person to lead another? The first one will fall into a ditch and pull the other down also. A student is not greater than the teacher, but the student who works hard will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log from your own eye, then perhaps you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by the kind of fruit it produces. figs never grow on thorn bushes or grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil person produces evil deeds from an evil heart. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. So why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then obeys me. It is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who listens and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. When Jesus had finished saying all this, he went back to Capernaum. Now the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish leaders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to come with them and help the man. "If anyone deserves your help, it is he," they said, "for he loves the Jews and even built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this or that,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, "I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel." And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 18. This victory psalm celebrated how God blew the enemy away like smoke and melted them like wax. It pictures three triumphal processions. Number one, the victorious nation. Great victories were nothing new to Israel, for God had been with them from the beginning. He had delivered them from Egypt and led them through the wilderness into the promised land. He gave them Mount Zion and dwelt with them there. What a history of victory. Have you reviewed lately all that God has done for you? We'll be reading here about the victorious Savior. Paul the Apostle quoted verse 18 in Ephesians 4:8 and applied it to the ascension of Jesus Christ. Believers today are part of a spiritual army marching in a triumphal procession and claiming their inheritance. They are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, using their spiritual gifts to serve him on earth. What a victory! Psalm chapter 68, verses 1 through 18. For the choir director, a psalm of David, a song. Arise, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Drive them off like smoke blown by the wind. Melt them like wax in fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But for rebels, there is only famine and distress. Oh God, when you led your people from Egypt, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth trembled and the heavens poured rain. Before you, the God of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, you sent abundant rain, O God, to refresh the weary promised land. There your people finally settled, and with a bountiful harvest, O God, you provided for your needy people. The Lord announces victory and throngs of women shout the happy news. Enemy kings and their armies flee, while the women of Israel divide the plunder. Though they lived among the sheepfolds, now they are covered with silver and gold, as a dove is covered by its wings. The Almighty scattered the enemy kings, like a blowing snowstorm on Mount Zalmon. The majestic mountains of Bashan stretch high into the sky. Why do you look with envy, O rugged mountains, at Mount Zion, where God has chosen to live, where the Lord himself will live forever? Surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots, the Lord came from Mount Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended to the heights, you led a crowd of captives. You received gifts from the people, even from those who rebelled against you. Now the Lord God will live among us here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Trust in your money, and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring.